Welcome back to Browns Insider with Mike Pettine, driven by Liberty Ford. Coach, coming to town, the Raiders, second straight week, a winless team, second straight week, a rookie quarterback. Now, this one you want to go differently, obviously, and it's a guy in Tony Sperano who you know well. He said you guys are both hot-blooded Italians. You've coached against him when he was with Miami. Then he came to the Jets while you were still there. What does Tony Sperano and what does a Tony Sperano team mean to you when you're going up against them?
Well, they're going to be built on toughness. That's the one of the things that obviously we've talked about from the beginning here. But that's Tony's mentality. He's very fiery. He's great in front of the group. You'll see him on the sidelines. That's where we differ a lot. My demeanor and his demeanor are I don't think could be more opposite on game day. But aside from that, I think we're very similar. Both very passionate about football. Love the game. Believe in building teams from the offensive line first. That way you can run the ball, you can protect the quarterback. And his teams are going to, it's already obvious that his stamp is on that team just in the 2 weeks that he's been there, just how hard they've played for him.
Yeah, they played much better against San Diego and Arizona the last 2 weeks. Now, their losing streak goes to 12 games dating back to last season, but it's a team that can present some problems. What are you most concerned with about this Raiders team?
That they have some explosive athletes on both sides of the ball. Defensively, it's a big group up front. They can fly around. The rookie Mack is playing at a high level at outside backer. Offensively, I think the rookie quarterback looks like he's mature beyond his years a little bit. That
sure.
He's not taking sacks. He's making good decisions with the football. He's not turning it over that much. He can make plays with his feet. He still looks down the field when he scrambles. He's doing a nice job. And this is a team that can run the football and have some very skilled running backs that have been very successful in this league for a long time. In McFadden and Jones-Drew. So I think it's a challenge for us in all phases.
And you want to stop the run, as we've been talking about on the show here. So force them to pass. Derek Carr, first rookie ever with 8 touchdowns in his first 5 games. And now he's got James Jones, a nice veteran. Andre Holmes coming on average about 19 yards a catch. And Bryce Butler. So they've got some size and speed out wide. Is eliminating those big plays the key in your mind in this one?
Yeah, I think for us, a big part of our plan, we talk about the priorities to the defense each week. This week more than ever, stop the run and defend the deep ball. And most game plans will start with that, but it's really important this week given their skill set.
As you come back home now, going on the road, how different is it? Because the energy in Jacksonville, just for me being on the sideline, it seemed flat from them, everybody there. It didn't seem like there was a lot going on. Completely different than First Energy Stadium. Is that energy important, and how tough is it to manufacture really on the road for a team?
Well, it is important, and we're always thrilled to play in front of the dog pound. I mean, I think that definitely is a lift for our guys. But we can't be that team that is completely different at home. We have to be able to manufacture that on the road, whether we're playing in a parking lot, whether we're playing in an empty stadium, or whether we're playing in an opposing stadium that's perceived as flat. That's just something that, as we mature as a team, that we're going to have to improve on. But don't have to worry about that for the short term. Obviously, have 2 home games in a row.
So, obviously, stopping the run's important. Reestablishing the run, I think, is very important for this offense as well. And last week, all 3 backs played. There's been a lot made of the 2-back, 3-back. Where do you stand on this, if you feel comfortable sharing that with us? And how does that play into your game plan for the Raiders?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of input on that. I talk to Kyle and get on the same page with him and Wilbert. That we're going to put our guys in the best position for us to be successful, and it's a good problem to have, but you still have the word problem there, so that's something that I know those guys have given a lot of thought to, and I'm confident that we'll put it in, we'll frame it in such a way that it puts us in the best position to win.
And Brian Hoyer coming off a game, I'm sure that he would have liked to have a lot of those plays over. Not his best game so far this season, but the ground game wasn't there. There really wasn't much offensively. Get the ground game going against the Raiders. How much does that help Brian Hoyer, and how are you expecting him to perform bouncing back this weekend?
I'm confident that he'll bounce back, and I think that's true of virtually every quarterback, unless your system is just totally predicated on passing all the time, that any run-based offense, you have to be effective because it just sets everything up. It keeps you ahead of the sticks. It sets up your play action. You're running play action on 2nd and 10. It's not near as effective as running it on 2nd and 5, and that kind of gets hidden and lost in the shuffle that you just don't look as effective, and that's why. When teams can force you into predictable passing situations, then you're going to have a hard time being successful.
arguably the most efficient passing game he had was Pittsburgh. Not only 8 completions, but they went for well over 200 yards. And Jordan Cameron had 100 of the yards in that game, 3 catches. That's the most catches or yards he's had in any game all season. Really wasn't a factor against the Jags. Is there something schematically happening there, or what can be done to kind of get Jordan Cameron going, and how important is that?
No, we don't necessarily look to feature one guy because we get so many different coverages, combination coverages, that every play has its own read associated with it. We certainly have plays schemed up for him, as you saw against Pittsburgh, and had more of the same against Jacksonville, but they did a good job defending him. And Brian, I think for the most part, has read defense as well and has known where to go with the ball.
So fourth down situations, again, were a part of the Jacksonville game. And whether or not you want to go for it, if you had to do it over again, immaterial. How do those processes come about? Kind of like take us in your mind. Is it something where you're going into the third down play and you're saying, okay, if we don't get on third and we're still in third and one, we're automatically going for it? Because there's not a lot of time between plays to really go through that. So how does that process work?
Well, one, based on where we are in the circumstances of the game, as we get into a certain set of downs, I try to let Kyle know before third down that, hey, we're in four down mode.
Okay.
So that, because that can affect the play call on fourth down, obviously, or on third down and on fourth down. But to me, if I'm a coordinator and I know I got two downs to get it, that's going to change my mentality. And then there'll be other situations where it's normally we think about kicking it, but if it's fourth and less than a yard, then we would consider going for it there. And Chris Tabor and I are in constant communication about it because he needs to know for obvious reasons. To have whatever kicking phase ready to go, but I don't get wrapped up into the numbers of it, the percentages of
okay.
it. To me, it's very much
a feel
thing. The situation in Jacksonville in the first half could have gone up 9-0, would have guaranteed a lead at halftime, and I just felt that the way we were on offense and how they were defending us, I didn't know how many more chances that we were going to have to get down inside their 20. You know, just on the heels of the Jets-Patriots game where the Jets kicked so many field goals and just were inefficient scoring touchdowns, and that ultimately cost them. That was something that we felt, hey, it's second and one. We got 3 plays to gain a yard and a half. And it ended up being the worst case scenario for us. They stopped us, did a nice job, and then our defense had shut them out the whole first half, and that was a touchdown drive. And now we, instead of being up 9-0 or 9-3 or 9-7, We go in at halftime down at 7-6, and that was significant.
It ultimately ended up being significant, but it's something that can be learned from and certainly an interesting experience that will probably come up again as you are the head coach of this team. Hopefully not against the Raiders. We're just converting every third down. We don't need to worry about any fourth downs. Coming up next on Browns Insider with Mike Pettine, driven by Liberty Ford, Buster Skrine sits down for the PNC Bank one-on-one player interview. Of course, PNC Bank, the official bank of the Cleveland Browns. Buster Skrine up next.